covenant is common to both us and Israel, isn't it? The blood is. But the new covenant was made with who?
God. Jesus.
Right.
So who did he make a wish?
It is right.
Right.
Somebody said that, right. Who did he make the new covenant
with? Somebody said
Israel. Israel.
Oh, Israel? Okay, yeah. Well, that's right. He didn't make it with the Gentiles, did he? No.
No.
Okay. So when you talk about the new covenant, in particular, the new covenant is just, it's more than just the blood, eternal life and things like that. There were very physical promises associated with the new covenant as well that have nothing to do with the Gentiles. And have everything to do with Israel finally being back in that land, right?
Yeah.
And being and having their relationship to the other nations as priests. That's all part of that new covenant. Okay. But the mystery to the Gentiles, in a lot of ways, is opposite to the new covenant, isn't it? Because the glory of God today is being revealed through who? The Gentiles or the Jews?
The Gentiles.
Right. Different than it will be in the millennial earth when it's going to be revealed through the nation of Israel, right?
Okay.
So you have to appreciate the differences as well as those things that are in common.
Yeah. Thank you.
Lest he yes. is who?
God said that he was the one that was going to go through the land of Egypt, right?
Yeah.
So you know who the he is, right?
So it's him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn
to touch them. In other words, when the Lord said, when I see the blood, I won't touch you, right?
Right.
Okay. If you didn't see the blood, he'd touch him and destroy him, right? Like he did, they passed through in judgment to Egypt, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He passed over the Israelite houses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the difference was the blood there in verse 28. See that?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, the sprinkling.
Right. Yeah, what I was just trying to tell you was that the sprinkling in verse 28 is the redemption. Okay? It was being saved from judgment, correct?
Yes.
Okay, where in chapter 12, the sprinkling is in reference to sanctification, like it says in Hebrews chapter 10. He has forever sanctified them, right?
Yes.
10:14. And so you see in chapter 12, the sanctification, because they're separated unto that redeemed assembly. You see that?
Yeah.
So that's why it's a different word there.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Eric, if you got that, I would appreciate it. Because, came through a lot better than probably on the actual teaching there.
I got it.
Okay, so
since this time, the faith.
Yeah, everything that we've been considering was the testimony of his faith, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to confirm.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, like we said, with all these witnesses, they are types of what Israel will have to endure in the tribulation. Let me give you just a little bit of a, and Eric, if you can record this as well, as far as why this particular testimony is going to be so meaningful to the tribulation Jews. I mean, Israel's faithful remnant there. Because, you know, just like at the first Passover, it was under duress, wasn't it? They had to separate from everything that pertained to the Egyptians and put that blood on the very trying, and put the faith in the blood on the very trying circumstances, correct?
Yes.
All right. this is going to be the experience of the tribulation remnant for the faithful Jews. When you look at Hebrews chapter 13, this cannot be emphasized enough. Okay, if you go to Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verses 9 and 10, okay, I'll go ahead and read it. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, and have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. You see, under the law, when you had the offering of the sacrifice and they killed the animal and shed its blood, the final acceptance of that sacrifice was when they actually burned that sacrifice, and it was burned outside of the camp. In other words, it was away from the people. It was an evidence that their sin has been separated from them and is finally going to be consumed. And it was a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. When you think about the stench of rotting flesh, okay, that's an abhorrent to a humanly speaking, is it not?
Yes.
Okay, but to the Lord, that burning of that sacrifice was a sweet smelling savor, he says to him, because it was that which was finally being purged from his people. You see that?
Okay.
It had a very important, precious meaning. It was precious to him. Okay? And so it was done outside the camp. And so when you look at what he's telling them, these Hebrews here in chapter 13, he says, look, you know, you need to separate from any of these doctrines that would hold you back. Okay? In other words, there are going to be a lot of sacrifices offered up in that temple, aren't there? Mm-hmm. The problem is that they're going to be being offered up to the man of sin, right? The Antichrist in the second half of the trib. And he says, you better not have any part of that, okay? Because those sacrifices are going to be sacrifices of what? In defiance, you see? They're going to be trying to revive something that God said he's through with, okay? And it's going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take faith to be reposed in the sacrifice that once for all. And you're going to have to, if you're going to put your faith in that, you're going to have to go outside the camp, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not going to be part of that ongoing worship there that's going to be revived in the second half of the trib under the auspices of the Antichrist, where the Messiah is going to be posing as a true Messiah and mimicking all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. You're going to have to come out and separate from yourself from that place and have your faith in the true blood, or you're not going to have any sacrifice for sin, like he says. Remember how, like when you talked about in Hebrews chapter 9, Come over there again. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 and 27.
Okay.
Somebody want to read that?
I will. Okay, sorry about that.
It's my mistake. Uh-huh.
Chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, But a certain fearful looking for a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries.
Yeah, you see what's happening here is, again, this speaks to Hebrews chapter 13. You should put these two passages together. Hebrews 13, 9 and 10, and 26 and 27. You see, if you go back to the sacrifices of the law, which is what most of apostate Israel will be doing under the auspices of the Antichrist, if you go back to that system, you've trodden the blood of Christ on their foot, and there's no more sacrifice of sins for you to have. If you go back from trusting in that blood to that and cave to that system that's going on there, you're done. Right? You're done. Mm-hmm. For you to do that is to take the mark of the beast, okay?
Right.
All right. That's how significant this thing is in the tribulation for the nation of Israel. You understand why it's called the time of Jacob's trouble?
Yeah.
Because Israel's the tribulation remnant, their greatest enemies are going to be their own brothers. Okay? That are participating in that false worship. Okay? It goes back to Isaiah chapter 66. Okay? Come over there a minute. Isaiah chapter 66. Read verses 1, 2, and 3 there.
66, chapter what?
Chapter 66, read the first two or three verses.
Oh, okay. Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit, and troubleth at my word.
Trembleth at his word, right. Yeah. You see, the thing is, the Lord made everything in verse 1, including the meeting place, that tabernacle, okay, that was there under the old covenant, right? Mm-hmm. However, you know, in the tribulation, you're going to have to look away from that, aren't you?
Right.
You're going to have to look away from that, and if you do, you're going to be somewhat of a contrite spirit, you're going to be trembling at his word, because what? That false system that's going on at that time in verse 3, you know, read verses 3 and 4.
He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man, and he that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, and he that offered an oblation as if he offered swine blood, he that burneth in incense as if he blessed an idol, yea, ye that have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in the abominations.
Yeah, you see, all these things about, like, he mentions about sacrificing the lamb.
Yeah.
He mentions about an oblation.
Dogs. Okay. Yeah.
These are all things under the law, but if you're going to be doing them at the auspices of the Antichrist, he says it's like swine blood. You know, something was cursed under the law. You're going to be doing what the man of sin is mimicking there. You're going to be like offering a lamb. He says it's like slaying offering a dog's neck. Again, a curse. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And burning incense as if he blessed an idol. You know that because what's going to be in that temple? It's going to be the image of the beast, isn't it? The climax idol, is it not?
Yes.
Okay. So the Lord says you better not have anything to do with that. Okay, you better separate from that. Trust in the blood that it truly takes away, okay, which the other things were just a type, and don't go back to the types, and separate from that, okay? And so what does he say in verses 4 and 5?
I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, They did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and choose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my sake, my namesakes, said that let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy and they shall be ashamed.
Yeah, you see, all the worshipers of false Messiah that think that the false Messiah is the true Messiah, that's the delusions that God's going to send on that generation for having not heard his word. Okay? And he said, for those that have heard the word and have suffered by their own brethren, throwing them out, hating them. Okay? Skipper, if you can just have someone mute that. Okay? Then you see what we're talking about here. Okay? That the Lord is going to be to their joy as opposed to the joy of those who thought they were glorifying the Lord by throwing their brothers out. Okay? It's all a tribulation context. And it's going to be the difference between the false system of worship being mimicked, what God did under the old covenant by the false Messiah, as opposed to the true worship, which is centered about the all-sufficient sacrifice that has now been revealed.
Yes. Okay?
And the ministry of the two witnesses in the tribulation period in the first half is to take Israel from the law to the new covenant. And at the midpoint of the tribulation, it's decision time. Okay? For Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. You're either going to flee that place and hide out in the rocks, like he says, or you're going to be, you know, under the, you know, being deceived and go along with that. Okay? And if you're faithful and left behind, you're going to be martyred for your faith. That's what all the martyrs are about. Okay? In Revelation chapter 12, chapter 7, and so forth. Okay? All these passages come together. It's indeed Israel's final testing. Okay? And so therefore, when you look at Hebrews chapter 13, what's the plea there from the Lord? To go back to Hebrews chapter 13 and closing it up. Yep. Hebrews chapter 13. Go ahead and read verses 12, 13, and 14.
Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
Yeah. So you see, he says, you know, the Lord suffered outside the city. That means without the gate. He was outside the gate. He was crucified outside the gates of Jerusalem. Yes. Okay. And he did it in that way, just like they burned the sacrifice outside the camp. Okay. Where God received it to himself as something precious, separating their sin. He said, you want to be sanctified like Israel was, where you have to go outside the camp. You see that? You have to leave this thing that's evil and in opposition, and you have to go to the true Messiah that is outside, that is now being hated. Okay? He will come back and return to your joy and their consternation. Okay? That's the whole message of the tribulation to Israel's faithful remnant there, isn't it? See, yeah. How it all fits.
It all fits together.
All right. And that's it in terms of, you know, that's the post-Q&A study, if you will. Okay? But that's important to say.
That was great. Thank you, Jordan.